We're taking you behind the scenes with entrepreneurs that run product-based businesses. There is so much information out there tailored towards service providers, so we have carved out a space just for you. The creative entrepreneurs making and selling physical goods. We're firm believers that everyone has a story to share, and there is so much we can learn from each other's business journey. Whether you are just starting out or a seasoned business owner, this podcast will shed light on new strategies, inspiration, and action steps to help you grow your product-based business. Hey friends, I'm Katie Hunt, and welcome to Proof to Product. I am really excited about our topic and guests this week. Two of my team members, Caroline Hull and Brittany Lynn, are joining me to talk about how to pitch yourself to podcasts. Caroline has seen all sides of podcasting. She has a podcast editing company and edits Proof to Product each and every week. She is also the co-host of Creative Biz Rebellion, so she has been on the receiving side of pitches for her podcast. And she's been featured on dozens of podcasts by other people, including episode 45 of Proof to Product, where she talked about taking breaks in business. Brittany Lynn is my PR manager, so she not only sees all the incoming pitches that we receive here at Proof to Product, but she also is regularly pitching me and her other clients for media opportunities. So that includes podcasts as well as traditional media. You can hear more about the type of work she does on episode 66 of Proof to Product, but I am super excited to have both of these ladies here with me today. So this is part one of a two-part series. Part two will come out on Thursday. We are talking all about what to do when pitching yourself to podcasts, what not to do, how to prepare for a podcast interview, and what you can do once the podcast airs to help spread the word. Hey, Brittany. Hey, Caroline. Thanks so much for joining me today.
Hey. Hello. Is this my first double podcast?
Is it?
I don't know.
Both of you have been on the show individually here on Proof to Product. But so I just like fun fact for our listeners here, I get around 30 email pitches every single day from people that want to be on this show. And most of them are completely unrelated to what we talk about here. It's unrelated, like the topics they want to discuss are not in alignment with our audience, with the topics we talk about. I also get like people inquiring about sponsorships for the podcast that really have nothing to do with what we talk about here. And so this led to a conversation. Both Brittany and Caroline are on my team at Proof to Product, and we work very closely together. And it led to this conversation of like, we need to have a conversation about this on the podcast of how to best pitch yourself and how to prepare, too, if you do a podcast with somebody else. So, and I should also mention, too, both Brittany and Caroline have their own shows and work on pitching other people to shows. Brittany does, and Caroline edits other people's shows. So, like, we truly have seen this podcast world from all sides, right, ladies?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so let's kick this off with some fun things. Brittany, what's, like, the worst podcast pitch you've ever received? And you don't name names, but, like, give us a gist of what it said.
I mean, truly, I think it was for your podcast. So I'm in a weird space where, like, I help some of the clients that I work with, I help with their podcast and pitch them and also do intake for guests. I have my own podcast where I do pitching and I received requests. So, like, I'm all over the place. Like, I see a lot of pitches and I also send a lot of pitches.
Right.
And the one that sticks out to me, and I think you'll know like which one I'm talking about, it was actually with a bigger brand and they pitched us. We didn't have any relationship with them, which is fine.
Yeah.
But they were going for the shock factor and the it was just very – if I say what the shock factor is, it'll give it away. So I'm being a little mysterious.
You're being coy. Yes. But it was for – it was a product.
It was
so
a
they
product,
had that checkbox
so they did
fold.
Have that for them. But it just like – it was a like throw it in your face. And the shock factor, like that can work in some instances. So I understand. But it just like kind of missed the mark for us of just like we can't.
It wasn't a good fit. And the shock factor aside, it wasn't a good fit. I know we're being super vague there. It was for a personal hygiene type product. And it was just very – the focus wasn't on like the business and growing the business. It was more on the functionality of the product. And they really wanted to sell the product.
And right. And so for me, it was like twofold of like, yeah, the shock factor is like, whoa, okay. But also like it – they didn't do their research in the sense of like they were really pushing the product. And ultimately that's kind of like why we decided like this isn't a fit, because especially as like product-based business owners, and I work with a lot of product-based business owners and I pitch them for podcast interviews, but I have to do a little bit of educating sometimes, because it's like you can't just go in and be like, hey, my product is awesome and like you should have me on your podcast.
Yeah.
That's not what's going to be interesting to podcast hosts. Like, this is a storytelling format of like talking about your experiences. And then in particular with Proof to Product, you're talking about how you've grown your business, like struggles, you know, wins, you know, all that kind of stuff. And like, what's going to differentiate with you? So they had the differentiation part, but it was like, we're not just going to have you on to like talk about how cool your product is.
Right.
Like,
it's not a sales show.
That's not the purpose of the podcast.
Carolyn, what kind of pitches have you felt have been most effective when people are pitching your show?
When I can tell that they've actually listened to the podcast. You know, I think this is a really, really huge thing. If you're going to pitch to a podcast, listen to a few episodes. I can always tell from a pitch if somebody actually has listened to the podcast, they know what we're about. You know, we kind of go through the same thing. We get a lot of pitches that don't really make any difference. But if somebody pitches us and I can tell that they listened to the podcast, they might even mention a couple episodes that they really loved. And then they will say, I think your listeners would love me because
X, Y, and Z. Yeah.
And they relate it to our listeners and how it relates to past episodes and that kind of thing. And so then I feel confident, okay, if we bring them on, you know, they're going to have something to talk about. They're not just going to talk about their product. And they understand that just because they come on the podcast doesn't mean that everybody's going to go run and buy their product, because that's not what the purpose of our podcast is. Because we also have a podcast for people who are selling products, but we're more at the beginning stages of
Give it a shout out. It's Creative Biz Rebellion. It's a
Creative Biz Rebellion.
It's a great podcast. Yes. And it is very much suited for this audience as well. So if you guys like this one, go check out Creative Biz Rebellion. But I agree. It's, you know, if they listen to the show, they realize it's not just a promo piece for them to plug what they're selling. You know, yes, people, going back to what Brittany said, it's a storytelling thing. We want to hear about the stories of how, why they build the business they do, how they've built it, and, you know, the successes and also maybe some of the struggles they've had along the way. So, okay, we've talked about some good things. I also want to mention here, the things we're talking about and the quote pitches we're talking about, this is applicable for way more than just podcast pitching. This is applicable for when you're pitching retail stores with your wholesale line, when you're pitching the press for editorial features. This is when you're pitching sales reps to work with them. You want to know who you're targeting, and you want to tailor your pitch to them so that it's personal and it's meaningful, and so that you can really build that relationship, right? Because businesses, I talk about this all the time, businesses are built on relationships. And if you send just a copy and paste pitch out to 100 people, the chances of you getting a response on that are really, really low. But if you take a little bit more time to customize what you're saying to people and refine the ask, that's the other thing I want to ask you guys. There's a lot of pitches I get that are just like, here's a bunch of information, but there's no specific ask. Like, do you have space on your show? Right. Would you like to interview this person? You know, whatever it is. And do you get a lot of pitches like that too, that are just kind of information-based but no real call to action, so to speak?
Yeah, absolutely. And we get a lot of them. And I usually just skim right over those, you guys. But if somebody sends me an email and they say, here are some topics I think would be really great for your audience, and then I'm able to look at my schedule and go, oh, you know, this would be a really great fit. Let's get some more information from this person. Then it's a totally different story. But when I get something that I can tell is just a blank send out, here's information, here's all the wonderful things I've done, you know, but with no telling me what the value is going to be for my listeners, I'm more likely to kind of skip over
it. Totally. I can also, it's very easy to spot like canned pitches from like, I think I'm on some listserv type email situation where it's like my email's been included with a bunch of other podcasters. And so I get inundated by the same types of media companies that pitch for other people. And those pitches stand out like a sore thumb. Now, when I get pitches from, you know, smaller businesses and it's the owner that's emailing me, I love that because, again, you can tell that they listen to the show, they have something they want to add. And, you know, if we can work them, and we do, I see you, friend, juggling all the things in your business and wondering where you can get some relief. Well, first of all, you are not alone. And secondly, this is why I want to introduce you to Gusto. Gusto makes payroll, employee benefits, and HR support super easy for small business owners who don't have a lot of time on their hands. Whether you have a team of full-time employees or independent contractors, Gusto makes the payroll process fast and simple. They also have really great resources and tools available for entrepreneurs to help you plan ahead. So new hire checklists, salary comparison tools, and even tax calculators. You're likely not an expert in HR and payroll. I know I'm not. And so with Gusto, you don't have to be. Proof to Product listeners get 3 free months of Gusto when you run your first payroll. So try out a demo and see for yourself at gusto.com/proof. Again, that's 3 free months when you sign up through gusto.com/proof. The other thing to consider too is, which Caroline, you touched on, like editorial calendar. Like a lot of shows have specific topics that they cover in specific seasons. And so sometimes hearing no, it might just be a not right now. And so how do you, Caroline, like to be followed up with when it comes to podcast pitches? Like, do you want people checking in or do you want it to be where you reach out when you're ready?
I do like them to check back in with me if I responded to them and asked them more questions. Okay. So sometimes I'll get a pitch and I might just have a few more questions, or maybe one of the topics they sent doesn't quite fit, but I want to refine it a little bit. Could we hone in on this a little bit more? And then, you know, right now we're in a season with our podcast right now where we are scheduling out into next year and considering what that's going to look like. And so, you know, there are a lot of people that we've kind of put on hold, and I've specifically asked them to follow up with me in the new year. And so it's like a no, it's like a not right now, but it's not necessarily a no. And so I think if you get a response like that, I think it's totally okay. Please email me back in a couple months if you, you know, if you didn't hear back from me after we chatted a little bit. But the ones that are, I think, are super annoying to me is when we do get an email and maybe we don't respond right away because we are doing other things. You know, Creative Biz Rebellion is on our full-time gig. And so I go through the email when I can. And then they just keep emailing me like once a week. Did you get my email? Did you get my email? Did you get my email?
It's tough.
And I'm like, archive, archive, archive.
Yeah, those are tough. I feel like I've got a ton of those in my inbox right now that I got to weed through. You know, Brittany, you're on the other side of the table too. You are pitching me, for example, and other people out to podcasts. So, you know, how do you straddle that line between being helpful and informative and being annoying in your follow-up?
Yeah, I would say, you know, to go back to the topics, specifically for podcasts, like, You have to include the topics of what you can talk about on that podcast and how you can bring value, because that's really what's going to make you that's going to differentiate you from all of these other pitches where that's where you're showing that you've done your research into their audience and what they could learn more about.
Yeah,
because I will say 90%, 100% of the time, like whenever I pitch any of my clients for podcasts, a host is picking a topic that we sent to them. So if you can make it easier on the host, and this is because you've done all of your research and you've identified the right places to pitch.
Right.
So if you've done all of that research, you should be a shoo-in for the podcast. And like you guys said, a lot of times it's no, not right now. So one, I would definitely say if people ask you to follow up, like actually do it. I know that that seems like such an elementary, like, you know, tip, but so many people don't follow up, and there's so much that people are missing in the follow up. Of the people that have asked me to follow up, like, nobody has been like, oh my God, I can't believe you followed up. Like, you crazy person. Right. Like, everyone's like, oh, thank you so much. My kind of like rule of thumb on following up, if I haven't heard back from a response, I like to give people like a couple of weeks from like the first time that I've emailed them, because like Caroline said, people have different times when they're checking their email. People go on vacation. Sometimes people accidentally delete things. Like a million things could be a reason why somebody isn't following up with you. And it isn't that they hate you and they think you're horrible. I think a lot of times people get that in their head where it's like, they saw this email and like, it's a no and they hate me. And it's like, I don't know. No, maybe they just had a crazy week. Like, we've all been there.
Totally.
And I typically follow up once. And then if I don't hear back from either of those emails, I move on. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like if I've sent you two emails and I haven't heard anything, it's either you're just not ready to have me on and you don't have space and, you know, all that kind of stuff, or you're not interested. Because otherwise, if you were interested, you would have responded to one of those two emails. So, like, give it some time, but do follow up, because a lot of times if I haven't heard from somebody from the first email, when I do follow up, just to be like, hey, let's touch base, and keep the follow-up email like super short. Don't recopy and paste your entire other email. Like,
yeah,
that's obnoxious. And keep it short and sweet and get to the point and go from there.
And make your ask clear. So I do want to go back, yes, and clarify one thing. I do think it's okay for you to have like a templated type of email that you, yes, send out with your topics that you want to talk about, that you feel good about, some stories that you think you could share with the audience. Like, definitely create a template to make it easy for yourself. But within that template, have areas that you can then tailor to whoever you're sending it to, just to show that you've researched who they are, you know who their audience is, and you can say how you are relevant to what they're talking about on their show. The cold pitches templates I'm talking about that I'm getting 30 or more a day, they're like very cookie cutter. It's
literally copy and paste. They're not editing anything. Yeah, I totally agree.
Can I tell you one of my biggest pet peeves?
Please do, Carolyn.
Is, yeah. Okay, so here's a really good example of what not to do. So I have a co-host on my podcast. Her name is Kelly. Do you know that a lot of the templated pitches we get are only addressed to Kelly?
Oh, wow.
Oh, because it's like pulling like one name, probably. Yeah,
this is always a big flag for me. Like, I know that they don't know who we are, what we're doing, because my name won't be on the email. Mm. And yeah, and it hurts a little bit, guys.
Yeah.
It hurts just a little
Say
bit.
Say Caroline's name. If you pitch yourself for Creative Biz Rebellion.
Address it to Kelly and Caroline. Yes. But no, I mean, that's an important thing. Like, you don't think that's important, but, you know, we do get a lot of pitches where they won't even have our names, yeah, or they'll have the wrong name or something like that. Or they'll say, hello, Creative Biz Rebellion.
Yes. Yeah.
And so, I get that too.
You know, those little touches, they make a really big difference when we're sorting through tons of pitches.
Especially because when you're sorting through them and you're going through your email, I don't have much time to go through all these things, right? Like, and yeah, so,
yes,
you've got me for like two sentences. And if it's like, yep, dear Proof to Product, boom, moving on. Like, if you can't look up, or I don't know. The other thing is too, I feel like my email's scattered all over the freaking internet. So it's like, you know, you could easily send it to my email. I talk about it here on the show. Like, I don't know. I feel like when people, I guess my point is, make it easy, make it personal, and know who you're talking to. Tailor it to who you're talking to.
Yeah. And
I mean, it's the same with pitching to a,
yes,
store, right?
100%.
Like, you wouldn't just say, hey, store. You would say, hey, owner of the store's, yeah, name. You know, it's the same thing.
So Noel from Oh So Beautiful Paper came to, she's a, you know, has her blog, Oh So Beautiful Paper. She came to Paper Camp several years ago. And one of the questions we talked about, or the pet peeve she had, was, I get emails addressed to Dear Oh So Beautiful Paper. And it drives me bananas, because if you read any bit of our blog, you know, you should know by name. And you should know, like, you know, you're emailing me at Noel@, or whatever her email was, I don't know, you know. So you should know these things. Pick up these things. So it's just little, going that extra step, going that extra mile, it really pays off in a big way.
Yeah. And I think what people kind of like get into their head sometimes is because it's named like a pitch. Like, I feel like people get in their head about like, okay, I must act like a robot. Like, I must act like, you know, something different.
Yeah.
Where it's like, don't think of it like, yes, it is a pitch. It's like, we need to rename it or something. We need to give it a new name.
Yeah.
Because it's really just like, you're trying to connect with another human being. On the other end of the computer is a person of some sort.
I was just going to say that. I'm like, I am, yeah, a person.
Yeah. So think about how, like, you interact. How do you email your friends? How do you
right,
you know, message your family? How do you talk to people on social media? And I'm not saying exactly message how you would talk to a friend, because you'd probably talk more casually to a friend. But, like, come at it from that perspective of, like, you're trying to talk to and communicate with another human being. Like, how would you want to be communicated with?
Yeah,
we all get spam emails. None of us look at them. They immediately go to the junk email. And the reason why is because it's copy and paste. It's not specific.
Totally. Yeah. It's funny. I'm sitting here listening to us and I'm like, oh, we're ranting so much. We're like raving, you know, like, and it, we sound so angry. And it's like, we're not truly angry.
We're not angry. We're not angry. We just want to help you.
But I guess that's what I want to say at this point. Like this, the whole intention behind doing this episode is to help you figure out the best way to increase your visibility. Mm-hmm. We get pitches mm-hmm. from tiny, tiny shops all the way up to like billion-dollar yeah. brands that want to talk to us. And you know what? I say no to some of the big guys. I say no to some of the small guys. Like, it's more about what story are you telling? How does it fit into what we're talking about, you know, that month or that season or whatever it is? And so we are just like, I just thought it would be interesting to pull in multiple people to talk about this so that we can help you put your best foot forward.
Thanks so much for spending time with us today. Head on over to prooftoproduct.com to join the conversation, access our show notes, and discover free resources to help you build your product-based business. We'll be back next week with a new episode. Thanks again.